We're doing Tehillim. We're up to the 59th chapter, Perek Nun Tet. And we read this with the traditional Halabi tune. It's a new semester, so I will quickly reintroduce. The work of Tehillim was written by 10 people, starting with Adam, all the way down to I don't know who. And David HaMelech compiled much of Tehillim. Tehillim is a work that has dual meaning. Aside from Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod, we know all of Tanakh has levels of interpretation. In Tehillim, there's a running dual interpretation between David talking about his own life and David, who compiled these psalms for future generations as well. So, with that quick introduction, yes.
You say that Adam Arishon wrote Shir Shal Shabbat on the sixth day of creation, the tenth day of creation. I'm not sure why. Who is he calling Shirin?
Okay, so I guess that's a good question either for Thursday night or for when we learn that chapter, but not for when we're in the middle of this chapter. So let's begin. Lam natzeach al tashchit le David michtam. David HaMelech says the following song was Lam natzeach, a song of praise, a song of, however we'll translate Lam Natzer, they like to say to the conductor, whatever, song of praise. Al Tashcheit. David HaMelech names this psalm the psalm of Al Tashcheit, meaning the name of the psalm is Do Not Destroy. David HaMelech was on the verge of being destroyed. He realized that he was a footstep away from death, and so he compiles this psalm about that period in his life, and he names it the psalm of Do Not Destroy. Lam natzeach al tashchit le David michtam. This is a song that David HaMelech compiled David Michtam, and we discussed already numerous times the different interpretations of the word Michtam, and we'll go with the interpretation that Mich and Tam are two words, which mean on the one hand he was beaten, yet on the other hand he was whole. Mich, he was mach, he was brought down, he was knocked, he suffered many hard knocks, but he was still Tam, he was still whole. When his father-in-law, King Saul, sends his guards to the house, and David, who did nothing wrong, his sole error was that he was a success. The one blemish you could find about David was that he was actually a successful warrior on behalf of King Saul. He did nothing wrong, and yet his father-in-law, who is jealous, sends his men with the intent of killing David. So David is surrounded. His father-in-law's soldiers are there standing ready to kill him. And David says, "Hatzileini me'oyevai Elohai, mimitkomemai tisageveini. My God, save me from my enemies. Save me from those that have come upon me, that have risen against me. Protect me from them. Tisagiveini. Hashem, I want you to protect me from those that have risen against me. Hatzileini mipoal leyavin. Umeyanshei damim hoshigeini. Save me from those liars. Save me from bloodthirsty men, murderers. Ki hinei arevu linafshi because they are plotting, they are laying ambush for my life. Yaguru alai azim. They gather upon me these brazen ones. Lo fishi velo chatati Adonai. I've done nothing wrong. I haven't rebelled. I haven't even sinned. And they want to kill me. And it's because they are bloodthirsty people. Not because I've done anything wrong. At this point in David's life, he's done nothing wrong. So, Yagugu alai, they have gathered upon me azim, these brazen people. What did I do? I haven't done anything to them. Biliyavon yirutzun veyikonanu. I've done them no harm. And yet they run after me. And they prepare themselves an ambush. Ura likrati, ure. And so I turn to you, Hashem, and I say, arouse towards me. See how I am being chased. And this is a recurring theme in Tehillim. We have a concept throughout Torah that Hashem helps the ones that are being persecuted unfairly. Hashem is with the nirdaf, with the one that is being chased. Now, to the layman, it's sometimes difficult to see who's in the right. I remember I once walked into the lunchroom, not of this yeshiva, of a different yeshiva, and I saw two grown men, they both must have been in their 20s, beating one another. They're holding a knapsack, and each one's trying to pull the knapsack away, saying it's his, and one of them was literally trying to bite the other one. One had the other one in a headlock, and that guy in a headlock tried to bite the one that had him in a headlock. And you see two guys in their 20s with yarmulkes fighting over a knapsack. So someone said to me, stop them. So I said, stop whom? I don't know who's in the right. I don't know who's beating up whom. What am I supposed to do? They're both beating one another, but no one's winning. And even if he was winning, maybe he should be winning. I don't know whose knapsack it is. I never met these people before. So what am I supposed to do? Interfere and what? I don't know. Maybe, you know, each one claims the other one's a liar and a thief and a... I don't know who's right. To the layman, it's sometimes hard to know who is the nirdaf, who is being chased. Everyone claims, I'm right, I didn't do anything to him. He started with me. But Hashem knows. And that's why David repeatedly states before Hashem, and he reiterates, I've done nothing wrong. Hashem, you know. One thing we have to remember, that people always present their case piously. No one comes in and says, I'm chasing after him because I'm a wicked person. I'm giving him a hard time because I'm a mean person. No one says that. Everyone has righteous reasons. Don't forget the Crusaders murdered and raped and plunged. They had pious reasons. They were doing it in the name of God. The Muslims are blowing up our buses. They also have pious reasons, right? They're also doing it in the name of God. They believe they're going to get the world to come. So everyone has pious reasons. David HaMelech says, God, but you know the truth. So you know there's no real excuse, but David can say that to God. To the layman, of course there's an excuse. He's rebelled against the king, and he's a threat to the kingdom, and he's a threat to prosperity, and he's a threat to world peace. He's the problem in the world.
But doesn't he allow for the fact that even if he's in the right, like the what we read about the 10 martyrs of Yom Kippur who did nothing wrong but are being punished for something else, God has ways sometimes that we don't understand. There's no measure for measure in any obvious way in one lifetime in this world.
Our job is not to accept that.
Really?
Our job is to fight it.
We fight it.
But to fight it in prayer too.
And said, let me see if it's ordained. And they said, okay.
That's a song.
Okay. All right. I don't know. Yes.
Saying, we don't understand such a concept. Our concept is, we have a biblical mitzvah.
Right.
If we have a problem, we pray.
Right.
We say, God, it hurts. I don't want it to hurt. Help me out. That's a biblical mitzvah. You have a problem, talk to him and say, I have a problem, help me out.
But if God doesn't, we don't necessarily say, if the answer is no, that somehow God's being unjust. We just say, we don't know.
Right,
but
David is going to say everything he can and plead and cry and say, I don't deserve this, help me out, right? V'ata Adonai Elohim Tzevaot Elohei Yisrael Hakitza Lifkod Kol HaGoyim אל תכון כל בוגדי אבן סלה. And you, Hashem, the potent one who controls all armies. Elokei Israel, the God of Israel. Hakitza, arouse. Wow, what a word. Just like you arouse, lifkod kol hagoyim, I know you take all the pagans to task. Al tachon kol bogdei aven sela. Even though these are Jews, treat them like pagans. Al tachon, have no mercy on them, says David. Kol bogdei aven, because these are sinful traitors. There's nothing good about them. So I want you to judge them and not take into account that they're Jews. Hakitza lifkot kol hagoyim, just as you arise to judge the pagans, and in truth you are Elokei Israel, you are the God of Israel, so you have more patience with Israel, but al tachon, I beg you, don't have patience with them. Yeah?
Does it have any similarities to the Midbar when God said, kill all those who sinned in the golden calf and the Levim, without hesitation, killed those people? Like I said, at the end of the day, we want to be like, all right, there's still Jews and everything, but they got to such a... Were these soldiers who were going to kill David as a similar low? It's not the same, it's a whole different thing. But a similar low to where, they were deserving of divine death, or whatever, or merciless death, as those who sinned in the golden calf.
I don't know.
Shaul
is different, as we one day we'll have to discuss soon in our Navi class on Monday. We'll get to Shaul. Yeshuvu la'erev yehemu chakalev visovevu ir. David says, by day they walk around, they tell lies about me, and at night they come back to my house to guard it. And when I finally escape them, so then they start searching throughout the city, and when they're running around, they're huffing like dogs, looking just like a dog goes searching, so too they're searching for me throughout the city. Hine yabiyun b'fihem charavot v'siftoteihem kimi shomea. They speak lies and slander about me, as though they're giving King Saul the sword to kill me. And David over here is revealing, why does King Saul want him dead? Because people are telling him, David's plotting against you, he's preparing to take the throne from you. There are plenty of nice people out there to tell King Saul lies about David. Hinei yabiyun b'fihem, they express with their mouths, charavot b'siftoteihem, their lips emanate swords, because they are the cause of King Saul wanting me dead. Ki mi shomea. And they say, we can get away with saying whatever we want. Who's listening? And that's again the theme of David HaMelech. I, David, act with the recognition that you're seeing everything. Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. I always recognize you're in the world. But these people, they let themselves get away with whatever they want, because they tell themselves, Ki mi shomea. And we all know that we have those moments in our life too. Anytime we say Lashon Hara, we know that. We speak improperly to a parent. Ki mi shomea, who's listening anyway, right? Chazal, we discussed this many times. We see it in its extreme version over here, but we know we have those moments in our lives too, and obviously we have to fix those moments. Ve'ata Adonai tishak lamo, but you, Hashem, I know you will laugh at them. Tilag lechol goyim, just as you mock the pagans, you say, I'll take them to task. Uzo ilecha eshmohora, because King Saul is too powerful, so I'm waiting for you, Hashem. I cannot take him on. So ilecha eshmohora, I wait for you. Ki Elohim misgabi, because my protection is Hashem. Elohei chasdi yekademeini, Hashem who does kindness for me, he's the one that will give me, will come forward towards me with kindness. Elohim yareini b'shorerai, and I know that Hashem will show me that which I'm hoping to see the revenge, to see my enemies fall. Al tahargein pen yishkechu ami. Don't kill them, because if they die so easily, so then everyone will, my nation will forget. But rather, I want you to apply your strength, Hashem, and cause them to travel. Make them lose their assets. Punish them as you punished Cain, that they will be wandering and everyone will see how they lost and they're put down in the world because of what they've done. Magineinu Adonai. Because Hashem, you are our protector. And I want people to learn their lesson from them. So I want you to pay them back. Take those people who sinned, put them down in the world so that everyone will learn. I'll tell you an example. Don't go inferring. I'm not talking about anyone. But imagine there was a Jew who kicked Jews out of their homes. Imagine there was a Jew who led such a movement. And imagine he dropped dead. So then people would say, okay, he died. But imagine he became a vegetable. Not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, but for years. Suddenly you look at that and you say, wait a second. Yeah. Okay. So David says, I don't want him to die. Let them stick around. I want people to look at them and learn that you do pay back. I want, let's imagine there was a prime minister. Let's just imagine that led a campaign of beating Jews in their homes and beating Jews who tried to protect Jews in their homes. And then he was taken on charges. And let's imagine there was a president who backed that prime minister and now he's sitting in jail on all kinds of charges. If they drop dead, so they drop dead. But if suddenly they are taken down from their position, if suddenly they are persecuted, the same people who said, respect the justice system, suddenly are saying, the justice system is corrupt. I didn't do anything they're saying I did. Ah, so suddenly people look and they say, okay, wait a second. If we imagine the general who's in charge of the South, who led the campaign against the Jews in their home, if he would drop dead, so he dropped dead, but no. Suddenly the same system that he said you have to respect comes out and says, oh, you don't behave properly. We're going to demote you. We're going to take away your parnasa. We're going to put you up to trial. Suddenly, what's he saying about the system? So sometimes the message that people can learn from a protracted punishment or a protracted situation of punishment is far greater than the person just dropping dead. And that's what David HaMelech is saying here. I don't want people to forget. I want them to have a protracted punishment. And his point is not the revenge against them. He says specifically, Pen yishkechu ami. I don't want my nation to forget. And this is really an issue that David contends with and does not succeed on. The idea of slander, our sages say, was a problem that persisted throughout David's reign. So people were super learned. People knew Talmud backwards and forwards, and they were super pious in the laws of purity and kashrut and all the laws except between man and his fellow man. There they were slandering one another. So David says, I know my people need to learn a lesson. Do me a favor. I don't want my people to forget. Let people learn their lesson from these soldiers of King Saul. Chatat pimo, chatat pimo devar sifateimo. David HaMelech says, chatat pimo, the sins of their mouth. That's what you should punish. Devar sifateimo, the words of their lips. Vigilachdu big onam. Trap them because of their pride, because at the end of the day, when a person slanders someone else, there's usually pride involved. I put him down because that puts me up. Umeala umikachash Yisapehu. And the curses that poured down upon them should be so big. The kachash, the famine that falls upon them should be so great that Yisapehu, people should be talking about them and as such should learn their lesson from them. Kalei vechema, kalei veinemo. David says, wipe out these wicked ones with your anger. Kalei, wipe them out until ultimately veinemo. Ultimately, they should have no remnant in the world. Veyedu ki Elohim, Moshel veYaakov. Let people recognize that you rule over Jacob. Lafsei haaretz sela. Let people recognize that you rule the world from one end to the other. Yes?
Something just not really confusing me, but I just want to ask about it. Since though David doesn't have faith or belief or whatever that these people can do teshuvah, and I had been told that anyone is capable of teshuvah.
So that's their job.
Huh?
That's their job. That's not his job.
Yeah, but either way, he's saying, have no mercy, kill them, God. Why not say, you know, God, I see all this corruption in your inheritance. Let it be your will that they return to your ways. Why not make a mitzvah about that?
But the two aren't exclusive mutual. They can do tshuva. They still have to be punished for what they did.
But he's saying kill. He's saying eliminate them. He's saying don't even give them the chance to shuva. Treat them like pagans. Have no mercy on them. And he keeps going on and on and on about it. It's not even like he said one line and then moved on to something else. He's saying the same thing in like five different ways already.
It does seem complicated on many levels. Like the example Rabbi gave, they're also just soldiers. I mean, I don't know how much.
What a beautiful question. Can you answer your own question?
Well, I know that we don't say, it's not like,
that's not so simple. No, because when they're under a king who could kill them,
right,
then it has to be your Harik Val Yavar.
I can't answer. I asked you before about Saul. You said it was a different question, but I'm sorry. I already had the question.
I'll tell you. There are different answers, but I don't see, we're working primarily with three commentaries in the interpretation that we're learning now. We're working with the Targum, with Rashi, and the Mitsuda. And I don't see within their interpretation an answer to that question. So whatever I'm going to say is going to be me and not them, and I'm not comfortable doing that. So I'd rather for now leave it hanging, and maybe later on we can discuss it, bring it up in the question and answer session, and we can discuss angles of answers which we have from other sources. But to use other sources, which I'm not sure is consistent with the commentaries we're learning now, I feel would be inaccurate. So if you don't mind, for now let's leave the question, because I don't have an answer from the sources we're learning, and I want to stay true to the sources we're learning. And later on, remind me, we'll come back to it in the question and answer session. We'll try to address it from a few different angles, but it won't be from these sources. I just have a hard time giving my answer or answers from other sources and just assuming that fits into the pshat we're learning here, because I'm not sure that's true. I guess two. Thank you. I'm hoping we're going to have a lot of people here tomorrow. Okay, yeah. He's asked me how many boxes of Ragalach to get for tomorrow's class. So judging by how many people were here tonight, I hope we'll have a full house tomorrow at 9 o'clock to 10:30. We learn. We start in the English library, so I told him to get 2 boxes of Ragalach. I asked him to get 2 boxes. 9 o'clock. Yeah. Yeah. But you could show up late. And if you woke up late, you went to late Shacharis, you could show up at 10 o'clock too. I hope we'll still have Ragalach for you. David is now going to repeat a pasuk he said earlier, pasuk Zayin, Only, in context, the Pasuk is now going to have a completely different meaning. In Pasuk Zayin, he was describing how they go around the city and they slander him, and then they pursue him like the dog in pursuit as he's trying to escape. And now he wishes them, he curses them and says, Vayashuvu la'erev yehemu chakekalev visovevu ir. I wish upon them that they should go around the city like a dog, and they should go around the city like a dog looking for food, and they should express their voices. Beforehand they would growl like dogs hunting me, now they should growl like dogs out of hunger as they're going around the city for food. Again, he uses the same words, but in context, it has a totally different meaning. Heima yeni'un lechol. And when they run, walk, going around searching for food, im lo yisbe'u vayalinu, and I wish upon them that they should not be satiated, and they should vayalinu, and they should complain. They should be sorrowful as they have not satiated themselves. Vani, and at that time, when I will be saved, and they will be put down, so they will no longer be a threat to me, Ashiru Zecha, I will sing about your strength. Varanin Laboker Chasdecha, and every morning, I will rejoice in your kindness, Ki Ayita Misgav Li, because you are my constant protector, Umanos Biyom Tzali, and I flee to you on the days that are afflicting to me. Uzi Eilecha Azameira, he again repeats almost an identical pasuk to Pasuk Yud, you are my strength, and so therefore my songs are to you, Ki Elohim Misgabi, Elohei Chasdi, because Hashem, you are my protector, you are the one who has consistently done kindness upon me. And you will notice that David does not flinch to mention Hashem's kindness and revenge from his enemies. These are not contradictory, and this is a recurring theme that we've been seeing again and again, that David says there is the righteousness of Hashem, and there is the idea of Ohavei Hashem, Sin'ura, those that love Hashem, hate evil. It's not enough to love good, it is also important to hate evil. And that is one of the concepts that keeps on coming throughout Tehillim, where David says, I strive for good, I ask for your kindness, and it's not contradictory to David at all, at the same time to ask, put down the wicked and destroy them. Ari has a good question. Yes, it's a good question. We have to revisit that. What did David say in this chapter? He described how King Saul's men slander him. They surround the house. They want to kill him. And David asks Hashem to save him. He says, they have no excuses. I've done them no harm. The reason they allow themselves to slander me is because they think you're not watching. Who's going to take them to task over it? And Hashem says, you're going to laugh at them. I wish that you judge them like the nations, like the pagans. Don't give them preferential treatment. Hashem, you are my salvation. You are my hope. Wipe them out in your anger, and they should be put down from their assets. They should be put down from their pride, from their wealth. They should be searching around the city for food, and they should never be satiated. When I see that you saved me and put them down, then I will sing your praise and your strength. I will sing as you are Hashem, my protector. You are my God, you who are filled with kindness.